You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show. We bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north in Aria, down south a lot, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this show, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe. Subscribe to the Sports Rabbi Show. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Leave us a five-star rating. Write us a nice review. We appreciate that. Helps us out with our rankings. Also, you want to check us out at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both languages. And just as my good friend Roe was saying off air, that you just showed the app to our good friend and photographer Udi. He didn't know we had an app, Sports Rabbi app. So if you don't know we have an app, make sure you download it today. We have it at the App Store for the iPhone and Google Play for the Android. Get the app, get it like Udi, get it like Roe. Make sure you get it. And join, if you like Hebrew, we have a great WhatsApp group community. Join that as well. Lots of stuff going on. And for today's show, Roy Jankelovich joins us again. We're going to be talking soccer, football action, and of course, Holy Land Hoops. How you doing today, Roy Jankelovich? What's going on, baby, from Israel Sport?
I'm good. How are you doing, Josh?
Doing really well. I'm excited. You know why I'm excited, Roy?
Tell me.
Because Oscar Gluck, the starlet, the future star of Israeli soccer, one of the best, the man that Ben Sarr wrote about today for Sport 5, I might add, is heading off to Salzburg. He actually, just an hour ago, did you see that Oscar Gluck wrote a nice goodbye letter to all the Maccabi fans saying that it's bye-bye, so long, farewell, Salzburg. Christoph Freud was here over the weekend. He saw the Israeli Classico between Maccabi Tel Aviv and Maccabi Haifa. Got to see Oscar Gluck assist on one of the goals, and he is going to be bought by Salzburg, the Austrian team, who's going to move over to Austria. Great news for Israeli soccer fans, bad news for Maccabi Tel Aviv fans, but we all knew this was going to happen at some point. I don't think we realized it was going to happen so quickly, but apparently I was reading reports today that the Austrians were shocked at how cheap the buyout was. So obviously somebody made a little boo-boo in the Maccabi Tel Aviv contract when they signed him a couple months ago, Roy.
Well, but he had his agent and his family who made sure that there'll be these 25 teams to which he'll be allowed to move for this buyout fee, which now we know is 7 million euros.
But, you know, from what I was reading today, the Austrians were shocked at how cheap it was. They would have probably paid 10, 11, 12, 13 maybe.
Yeah. Well, if I was doing the negotiations at first from Maccabi Tel Aviv, I think the price tag should not have been 7 million, should have been more. But that's what happens when you don't have the professionals like you used to have in the team.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big deal. I mean, when you don't have a CEO that comes from the football world that has worked on contracts with players, it makes things a lot more difficult. And we see that, you know, Jack Angelidis does know soccer. We're not saying he doesn't, but he's not in the day-to-day busy stuff with the team. Barak Itzchaki doesn't have that experience, and Sharon Tamam doesn't have that experience. That's fine. Nobody's expecting them to have the experience. But the owner, Mitch Goldhar, needs to understand that the team needs a CEO or somebody that's there that really, really understands these things, because it seems that the Austrians say that they just fleeced Maccabi Tel Aviv, and that's not what you want to hear.
Exactly. Like Martin Bain, and remind me who came after Martin.
Ben Mansford.
Exactly. And Ben Mansford, Maccabi Tel Aviv are missing this CEO they used to have, who was in charge of footballing affairs, and who these people knew exactly how to negotiate these contracts as they came from the football world. And Maccabi Tel Aviv need to make profit from this transfer and not...
Well, they're going to make profit, we understand. They made money, yeah, right? But they could have made more money.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
And you need to invest it in new players. And now I'm sure Maccabi have players on their radar, but now they have only a few days to sign them. And it will be tough to replace Oscar Gloch, but we saw Parfait Guyagon against Maccabi Haifa, the Ivorian, soon to be Ivorian international, 21 mm-hmm. years old. And we saw he had an amazing game. Mm-hmm. And most likely he's going to play on Parfait's position. And Gabi Kanikowski was playing the same position as Parfait played the last game. So in the meantime, that's the solution for
Maccabi. Yeah, which is fine. I think that Parfait was very happy about that. He got to give the one finger salute to Vladimir Ivic. You know, that's he obviously was happy that he has a chance to play now. Yeah. Ivic, you gotta say this. You were at the game, of course, 3-0 win for Maccabi Tel Aviv, Aranzabi with a brace. Incredible goal, especially that first goal from him was just incredible. They're playing happy soccer, right? They look like a totally different team. I'm talking about, like, you know, when Ivic was there over the last few months, didn't you feel this dark cloud was hanging over them? That everything that was going to go wrong could go wrong, even though they were giving up very few goals and they were, you know, competing for the top spot, but they didn't make Europe again. But now under Karanka, we see that they're playing this happy Spanish-style soccer. They're changing things up. You know, you were there against Maccabi Haifa. Didn't you feel that oozing out of the players from the get-go?
Yeah, you feel that they have this passion. They're happy to play. They're happy to play for him also. And before I forget, we have to remember the guy who put Gloch into the starting 11 last season out of the blue was Mladen Krstajic.
Right.
The former coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv, who also played happy football.
He should have stayed on, right?
Exactly. Who was easily forgotten. So we have to credit Krstajic for giving the first chance to Oscar Gloch.
Yeah.
Because it's not like people say that he had no other choice. It's not true. You always, the coaches at Maccabi Tel Aviv have choices to make. And he could also have not put up Oscar in the starting 11. So kudos to him.
Now, what do you think Oscar Gloch is going to be doing with Red Bull Salzburg? How do you think it's going to play out for him? You got to figure it's a good team. This was the right move. We know there was rumors about Barcelona. He would have played for Barcelona B and all that, yada, 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 yada. This was definitely the right move. And, of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv now are trying to – they were trying to get percentages – because they, for some reason, they also didn't negotiate that in the contract, that there would be future percentages coming their way. I mean, so there was major flub-ups here on the contract. But this is a great move for him. Going to a team that we saw Monas de Boer really develop into a top-ranked striker, you've got to feel very comfortable if you're Oscar Gloch and his father and family that he's going to the right place here.
Exactly. And Erling Haaland and the list of many players who started in Salzburg. And from there, they went all over Europe. So it is the best move for him. And I think it's a better move than going to Barcelona, because I don't know if people remember that Gaia Sulin once upon a time went to Barcelona and there went his career afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to get lost in Barcelona. I mean, there's no question. You go to Barcelona, you can end up in places where you don't want to end up, like a guy Ansuli, and it kind of ruined his career. Not to say he may have had or didn't have the potential. He just never developed, and that happens a lot when you go to big teams. You know, I was reading a report today, and it just, you see Goni Naor move to from Hapoel Jerusalem to Maccabi Haifa. Now, where did Goni Naor play his youth career?
Maccabi Tel Aviv?
Yep, Maccabi Tel Aviv. And there's a whole list of players that played for Maccabi Tel Aviv. We can start off with Gabi Kanikowski, a player that they had to buy back for about 8 times the amount that they sold him for.
And then when you think of it in retrospect, why did they sell him then at his young age? I think it was to Akko, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was to Akko. That was Ben Mansur that sold him. He didn't think he had any future. I mean, it's just quite amazing, right? I mean,
Here we go. Even the big shots from abroad can make mistakes. So Barak Yitzhaki doesn't have to feel that bad.
Right. you know, but it's not just him. You look at some of the players, like Omri Glazer was a goalkeeper for Maccabi Tel Aviv in the youth department. the list can go on and on. We can name, oh, I think Tamar Shvira was a Maccabi Tel Aviv product. Now, of course, we understand that not every player is going to get a chance to play for Maccabi Tel Aviv, and there's players in front, and there's pressures and all that. But one thing that Maccabi has not been very good at over the last number of years is getting those younger players in. And like we said before, Mladen Krstajic gave Gloch a chance, which you rarely see. What was the last player that really developed, young player that developed while playing for Maccabi, Roy? Can you name that person?
Wow, maybe Dor Micha, if you think of it.
Maybe. Thinking of Dor Peretz.
Yeah, Dor Peretz, and
Dan,
as well
Dan, Dan Glazer.
Way back when.
Daniel Peretz. Now, there are players, right? We're not saying that there's not players, but you know, sometimes you see some of these players that left their ranks and you're wondering, scratching your head, what's going on with this? Crazy stuff. Really amazing, but a lot of fun. And what are, you know, let's get to the game itself. 3-0. I mean, this was a KO by Karanka on Barak Bachar. I mean, it was just an absolute knockout. Haifa was nowhere to be found. Is Maccabi Tel Aviv now 5 points out of the top of the table? Are they a threat to win the title, Roy?
I still do not think so because of the match schedules left, meaning there are only two more games where they're going to play each other, Maccabi Tel Aviv and Maccabi Haifa. And I do not see Maccabi Haifa losing so many points against teams which are not Maccabi Tel Aviv. And I do not see any scenario that Maccabi Tel Aviv won't lose any point until they meet Maccabi Haifa twice. So even if Maccabi Tel Aviv would beat Maccabi Haifa twice, it would not be enough for Maccabi Tel Aviv to win the championship. But that's not the end of the world for Maccabi Tel Aviv. They'll have the summer to plan and build one of the best teams they will have. And they'll be able to qualify first for a group stage in European football, most likely the Conference League.
Yeah. Which would be fine. They need to get back into Europe. That's the number one priority. And it's clear that Karanka can coach. It's clear that he has the players' trust. It's clear that Zahavi likes him. And that's a key, right? Because you need to have your best player,
exactly,
despite his age, liking the coach.
And it's also clear that Karanka is here to stay for more than half a year.
Yeah, he's not racing anywhere very quickly.
Exactly, which is very important in a team like Maccabi Tel Aviv, which had so many coaching changes in the last 10 years since Mitch is in charge.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the list goes on, and there's endless coaches over there. Let's go through some of the games that we saw in the Israeli Soccer League. Beitar Jerusalem, 2-0 winners over Bnei Reina. Ori Dahan with a goal, and then Daniela Skrilla with a goal as well. Beitar look like they're back. I'm not saying Bnei Reina is not a very good team, but we see Beitar Jerusalem is a much better team today than they were, say, 4 months ago.
Yes, and all of that work, Yossi Abuksis deserves a big chapeau for being able to build a team under really tough circumstances, which slowly but surely needed to get to play together, to get to know each other, and good tactics, and Beitar Jerusalem should be in the upper playoff.
Yeah, no question about that. They're starting to move up, but we'll have to see how the table plays out. Right now, they are in sixth spot, but you know they should be in. I don't think it's going to be a problem. You know,
key match for them is now against Khadera coming up. They're going to play a home game away from home as punishment for fan behavior in the Derby of Jerusalem. But they'll play it with fans in Petah Tikva, in the Shlomo Bituach Stadium, also known as Moshava.
Hapoel Be'er Sheva 2-2 with Maccabi Netanya at Turner Stadium. Listen, all four goals came in the first half. Rotem Hatuel just scores and scores. Patrick Tuomasi ties it up. Igor Zlatanovic gives them a lead. Sagivi Haskell ties it up. Again, that's a good result for Netanya at this point because Netanya has been playing terrible and Be'er Sheva has been playing well. Not a good result for Be'er Sheva.
But Be'er Sheva have a game in hand. They still have to play Sakhnin, and then they could be in the supposed title race. But I still believe that.
No, I don't.
Maccabi Haifa to lose. That's it.
Do you think Maccabi Haifa is facing? Do you feel that they're under pressure? They are,
but the fact that they're will reach the, who their opponents this week. Right. The fact that they are such the fact that they're playing Neyrena this weekend is going to help them.
Right, that's a good
get rid of all of this pressure, at least for 1 week.
Ashdod scores a pair of second-half goals. They beat Khadera 2-0. Khadera, of course, is now coached by our good friend Menachem Koretzky, who should have never left there in the first place to go up to Kiryat Shmona. Yep. Two goals in the second half. Mohamed Kanan with one of the goals, and then Mujis Zakaria with the second goal. Good win, yeah, obviously, Kanan, for Ran Ben Shimon.
We have to mention Hamoudi, that's how they call him, Kanan, is a top candidate for many teams in this transfer window.
Including Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Exactly. So,
but we see, but I hate to say it. We saw how the last Arab-Israeli player fared out with the Maccabi Tel Aviv. Yeah. Forget about the fans. I was talking about Osama Khalilah, who
chemistry.
Came.
Yeah.
It just never worked. It just didn't work. It didn't work. Now, are we going to see the same problem again? Again, I don't know. You know, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Is this the right move? I mean, I don't think the fans are going to be an issue here.
No, it's not the fans. It's the chemistry into the team. But nothing is complete yet. So we still have to see who Maccabi Tel Aviv will bring. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure they will bring players.
Hapoel Haifa 1-0 over Kiryat Shmona. Guy Mizrahi scored to take the 3 points there. Nes Ziona Sakhnin 0-0. And then a game that you were at, Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Tel Aviv, and a 0-0 special in front of the potential new ownership group. What is the latest with this ownership group, Roy?
Well, we heard one of the names. I forgot his name. Well, he had some from the U.S., not famous. We know the Mintzberg brothers are the front men, but we still don't really know who are the people going to be. And in the meantime, it's like a stalemate. We haven't heard anything about these talks, if they're finalizing, when will they buy the team, what will be with the team. So they're in limbo. Ownership limbo.
Adler and Levine.
Oh yeah, I remember those two guys.
All right, this coming weekend, Maccabi Haifa hosts Bnei Reina. Ashdod welcomes Kiryat Shmona. Nes Ziona travels to Netanya. Khadera, Beitar Jerusalem, and Hapoel Tel Aviv, Maccabi Tel Aviv in the Derby on Saturday night. Hapoel Haifa and Hapoel Be'er Sheva Sunday, and then Monday, Sakhnin, Hapoel Jerusalem. Obviously, the big game is going to be the Derby. Do you see Hapoel Tel Aviv, even though they are the home team, with any chance of winning this game?
No, I don't. I think Maccabi Tel Aviv are far better. We should mention that for the first time in the history of Israeli football, there will be a net separating the fans and the pitch. We've already had the net which separates fans from each other. I saw that in action in Netanya Stadium when Maccabi Tel Aviv played Beitar Jerusalem some years back. But now there will be a net by the ultras of Hapoel Tel Aviv, which is mainly against flares and balls being thrown onto the pitch. Now we're going to see if this is going to work or it won't work. The fans wanted to put some choreo also, but that won't be possible because this net cannot hold any weight. Mm-hmm. So it's a German company which put this net in Bloomfield Stadium, and we're going to see on Saturday night if this net will do its job, because I'm almost sure that Hapoel Tel Aviv fans will bring in their flares. Now, the thing is, will the net catch fire? And we'll see what it'll be.
Ah, you know, nothing ever, it never ends, does it? Let's talk about some of the absurdities that we've seen in Israeli soccer this week, which is the fact that Maccabi Haifa and Maccabi Tel Aviv held pregame ceremonies with children, with handicapped children with challenges. And the for some odd reason, the Israel Football Association decided to write them up and give a report that because of these ceremonies that were not sanctioned, apparently, officially sanctioned, the game started late. Because the game started late, they were putting fines of 1,000 shekels apiece on both teams. Now, you know, how, and I understand, okay, for somebody that's worked in teams before, and I've worked for Maccabi Tel Aviv, I understand that there are reasons why things have to be on time. It has to do with the TV contracts, and there's reasons that they need things to be done for commercials and all that. I get all that. Okay. All this stuff is done in advance. There's a lineup. It's taken very seriously. And they do. And if you do are late, you do get fined, by the way. You just don't hear about the only reason you heard about this fine is because it was for, again, children, honoring children with disabilities. And that's, they look really bad. The Israel Football Association looked really, really stupid here. Number one, that this even came up. Two, the fact that they came out to do damage control and said they would pay the fines. Both teams said thanks, but no thanks. We'll pay the fines ourselves.
How foolish they are. Yeah. I'm happy with both teams. Together decided this.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. It was just really, really embarrassing. I don't know. Like, somebody's got to tell these guys, like Nir Reshef and all these court guys, and that like you look stupid. You don't look smart doing these type of things. We understand why. We understand why you did it. Like, we get all of that. Like, I understand it. I totally understand it. But you're being stupid, and you look stupid. And if this gets out like to the world news, I did not tweet this in English, okay? Because I just thought it was a chilul Hashem. It was.
I think nobody did.
It makes us look stupid. I mean, it really makes us look stupid. It just was awful. I got to say that. Of course, Ed, any final thoughts on the soccer scene, and we're going to move to basketball here?
It's good. They're going to be interesting days in the transfer market now, from now until the windows.
And Netel Aviv is going to be heading off to Japan. Why Japan? Only the good Lord knows. But he is.
It's
going
not
to Japan.
A bad league, but
but it's an odd play. It's an odd place.
I have not heard of any Israeli playing in the Japanese league. Let alone foreigners who are not Brazilians succeeding there. So I hope for him that it will last more than half a year, because Japan's a wonderful place. But I don't know how well prepared he is for life in a totally different place compared to Israel.
The only player I know in Japan is Brock Modem playing for one of the basketball teams right now. That's about it. I don't know.
No, I know about players in the past who played in the soccer league. Many Brazilians played there. So it's quite an experience, but I wish him all the best.
All right. Of course, we're on here with the Sports Rabbi Josh Allen, Rabbi Jankelovich, Sports Rabbi Show. Of course, at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. Let's shift over to the Holy Land Hoops right now. And we move over, of course, to the basketball side of things. And there's lots of action. What can I say? Lots of action and lots of stuff going on in the basketball world. Let's just start off with Hapoel Jerusalem. They lose in Champions League play, 84-77, to JDA Dijon.
Jean Dal, by the way. Did you know the JD in the name of Dijon stands for Jean Dal?
Well, there you go, gendarme. So, listen, Jerusalem did not look good in this game. Dijon just totally dominated them. I think they could have played this game for 5 days, and I don't think the result would have been any different. It's just like Jerusalem had nothing going on. There was no energy. They looked slow. They looked sluggish. They couldn't figure out how to stop Gavin Ware when he was hitting his jump shot after jump shot from the free throw line, and he dominated inside. Now we know that the head coach Alexander Djikic said that there were some reasons that he wasn't going to share with us. Now the only reasons I can think that were going on is that there was this virus that we had heard about, that Kadeem Carrington wasn't at last game, and that he wasn't probably playing at 100%, and maybe it was floating through the team. And then we know that Oz Blazer was, subbed out early, and he was not feeling well. So, who knows what the effects were. He wasn't going to share it with us. But the loss was not a good, not a good game for Jerusalem. Hapoel Cholon also loses in Champions League play in double overtime. So the Israeli teams are now 0-2. The French teams are 2-0 in this group stage. But every game, as Nedan Markovic, the coach of Dijon, said, every game here counts, and they're important. And when you're already 0-1, that's not good. You pick up a road win, that's very good. Jerusalem loses to Cologne. Whoever loses it's that over. Game is in deep, deep, deep trouble. Now, it's not over.
No,
because but, because the French teams are going to split, right? But
it's
at 0-2, you're in deep trouble. Jikic has to know that. He has to travel to Eilat for a game Saturday night, which he probably would like not to play, especially if they're not feeling well. And that's a game that is one of these, you know, games where they could lose, even though Eilat's been awful, but they could definitely find their way on the short end of the stick in that game.
It's a game.
It's a trap game. Yeah.
Where even Maccabi Tel Aviv find it hard to play in Eilat, so let alone Jerusalem.
Yeah. This could be a big trap game
even though this Eilat team is not as good as Eilat teams used to be.
But it's always tough to play down there. Yeah. And they have a new coach. Yeah, they came very close to winning last game in Beersheba. So we're going to have to see how this plays out. But if I'm Alexander Jikic right now, I'm concerned. Not only am I concerned, I'm also worried that he says we want to play more games. You know, it is what it is. Like, on one hand, you're happy you didn't play in the play-in. On the other hand, you're not happy because you didn't have games. Where will you be happy? Are you going to be happy in the Euro Cup? Because there's a competition that has games, except, whoops, Hapoel Tel Aviv are the team that's in the Euro Cup and not you.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like, where, you know, it was that like a hint towards, like, you know, we should be in the Euro Cup? Well, yeah, Hapoel Jerusalem, you were in the Euro Cup and you decided to dump out of the Euro Cup to go play in the Champions League. So that was a strategic move that your ownership made at the time that, again, I still think was the wrong move. And we see that Hapoel Tel Aviv can actually, they were 84-82 winners on an incredible game that saw them up all game. And then they gave up a 17-3 run to start off the fourth quarter. And then they came back over the last 5 minutes and Xavier Munford hits a game-winning shot. They're in the Euro Cup and they have a chance to win the Euro Cup. You know, forget about the game that Hapoel Jerusalem basically totaled them in the State Cup.
Which doesn't represent the whole season. It happened.
It happened and that was it. And I think they've taken the right attitude towards that. Whereas Jerusalem, they win that game. And since then, they looked very shaky against Herzliya. They did not look good at all. And they have, you know, they looked awful against Dijon. So where do you want to be? Jikic probably would like to be in the Euro Cup. He'd probably like to have all of his players playing every game because he, you know, he's mentioned numerous times that he can't play certain players due to the fact of the Israeli rules. And then he has a player like Noam Yaakov, who he could have put out there yesterday, and he didn't. He gave the reason as he didn't want to throw him to the wolves, basically, to play up against David Holston, a professional. I understand that. I totally agree with his thinking. I totally get it. You know, there's definitely an experience factor. However, you know, would you throw him out there for a couple minutes just to test the waters in a game that was going nowheres? And what it tells you is if he was supposed to come in and strengthen the squad, where is he going to strengthen the squad? Is he going to is he scheduled to play against Eilat? Because if he's not going to play in that game, you got to really wonder where he's playing. Now, Jerusalem also just signed TJ Klein, which is a nice signing, but I don't totally get the signing.
Understand it. Yeah.
I like TJ. He's a good guy. I think it's a good signing for Jerusalem. But this is not exactly the spot. You now have another forward. You have a couple of foreign forwards in Sims Handavene and Marix Maris.
And now you cause more Blazer. In this. It's overloaded. That's how I look at it.
No, but again, he wants a player that can play in both competitions. The only problem is that he has two more games coming up in the Champions League. Then there's about a month off until the second part of this round. It's going to probably take TJ Klein a few weeks to get into game shape. And we see that a player like Brandon Brown that they brought over, who was not in game shape, is still not in game shape. Exactly. I don't know if he's ever going to be in game shape. I mean, is he, you know, maybe he just doesn't have it as a player anymore. I don't know the answer, but he's still, like, he hit a nice three-pointer yesterday, but he doesn't look at all like the player that we've seen in the past. And it's very tough to, you know, very tough to play. And I understand why, you know, Jokić went Rosh Bakir yesterday. He kept putting his head into the wall and he was in a go with Brandon Brown until the end. And you saw that it just wasn't working. So there's a lot of questions over here for Hapoel Jerusalem. If I'm a Hapoel Jerusalem fan, I'm very uneasy.
And we saw that Sim Sandavene had a relatively good game, and we know that he cannot play in so many league games. So now bringing in TJ is going to hurt his position even more. So this will be tough.
Yeah, odd stuff. I mean, just very, I don't know, very odd, strange moves. I don't know what else to say about it. We spoke about the Hapoel Tel Aviv game, which was incredible. And they had three players that were out, right? Talking about having problems, players that were sick. JP Toccato, who's a regular. Idan Salmonson, who would have played 5-8 minutes, say, in the center position. And then you also had Jordan McRae, who was still out. And he was a player that can give you 30 points a game. So instead, Xavier Munford gave you 33. So, you know, he was just incredible. And we were waiting for Xavier Munford to, like, you know, finally have a good game, because he had been playing extremely well most of the season. In the last few weeks, he kind of, you know, trailed off a little bit. But he's been spectacular. He was just spectacular in this game. And that was just great to see. Great crowd. You know, I got to give them credit. It was not easy to come into that game after winning the Derby. They did it under 48 hours later. They win that game. Last but not least, in the European side, Paul Cologne 112-110 losers to Strasbourg in a game that had all kinds of referee problems, referee issues, and went to double overtime. But, you know, they came out as Friars again. They were suckers because they should have won that game. Forget about all the bad calls, all these unsportsmanlike calls. I get it. They were screwed by the referees. I understand it. I get it. I know it. And I complain about referees a lot. Last night's referees were fine, I should add.
Yeah.
Tel Aviv referees were not good. But but this game was a disaster. But again, you can't sit there, you know, Guy Goodis goes on afterwards and starts ripping apart. I never talk about in my 20 years about the referees, but I have to talk about the referees on and on and on and on. We've heard him talk about the referees before. You know, I mean, come on. The referees were not good. We get all that, but they came out as Friars. Roey.
Agreed. Totally agree. You're supposed to focus on winning the game. We saw Hapoel Tel Aviv, they did have issues with the officials. With the officiating team in the first and second, the first half, and they still were able to get the win. You need to focus on the court, not to focus on the refs. And Cholon should have won their game before they even reached OT.
Yeah, it should have never even gotten to that point. Let's talk about Max Heidegger, Roy. Did you hear the latest news about Max Heidegger?
Yeah, was called up for the national
team. Oh, no, you're not up to date, apparently. He's not going to be with the national team. You want to know why?
Oh, no.
You know who's about to sign him? Baskonia. Is about to sign. This is breaking news from the last half hour or so that Baskonia is buying. They're going to take the buyout for his team in Turkey. And he's going to replace most probably Pierre Henry, who has been suspended due to, we don't know the exact story, but it seems that there's some, you know, drug test issues, problems, hopefully not the type that we've seen from players that are playing in Israel right now, in Essaouira specifically. But, you know, there definitely have been problems in the past with these drug tests. So I don't know exactly what went on here, but yes, that is the news. So if he's going to go to Jastonia, he ain't coming for the national team win.
Oh, no. Even, you know, these windows mean nothing.
Especially
the window
now
is just a friendly game window.
So that's big news. I mean, to see an Israeli abroad like Max Heidegger make that move to a EuroLeague team, and That's great news. I was just in touch with him. I wish him congratulations. I know he had other opportunities that had come. There were talks, different things. But off he goes. And that's great news for him.
Good for him.
Yeah, good news for him. One last game in Europe, Hapoel Haifa. They fell to Budenvielk Kiev 81-79 in the Europe Cup. That is not good for them. They are now 2-2 in their group, with Karhu Basket at 4-0, and they are level with Kiev at 2-2 right now. So they're going to have to win some of their. They're going to have to win a couple of their final game or final couple games to make sure that they get into the next round of the Europe Cup, and they get into the elimination rounds. That would be very important for them to do. Roy Yankelovic, let's take a quick look at the basketball games we have coming up this week. Just, I know we spoke about it in the show prior, but we're gonna just run through them again. Eilat, Hapoel Jerusalem, Holon, Gilboa, Saturday night, Sunday night, Maccabi Tel Aviv head up to Kiryat Atta, Hapoel Haifa welcome Be'er Sheva, Nes Ziona hosts Hapoel Tel Aviv, and then on Monday, Bnei Herzliya and Galil Elyon play. And then, of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv play Olympiakos on Friday night, Roy. That is coming up as well. What are your thoughts on that game before we deal with you?
The only question is, by how much will Olympiakos beat Maccabi Tel Aviv? Sorry to say that.
Well, I think there you have it. So we're going to have to see. Listen, they are a very, very well-balanced team. Olympiakos is in first place.
One of the best.
Cream of the crop right now. And Maccabi Tel Aviv... have a very poor road record. They've only won two games. Sports Rabbi was at one of those. Maybe I'll be at another win next week, perhaps, in Valencia, but we'll see. Valencia is a tough team at home.
Higher chances that Maccabi will win in Valencia rather than in Barcelona.
In Olympiacos. So they have three games coming up. They're 11-9. The last thing they want to do is to come back home to play Red Star, and they're 11-12.
One win.
They need one win of these games. That's all they need. They need one win to make sure they stay over 500, and that will be the key. Roy, where can people find you?
People can find me on the website Israel Sport, www.isport.co.il, on Twitter at Roy J, R-O-I-J-A-Y, and on Instagram and Facebook, Roy Jankelovitz, R-O-Y-J-A-N-K-E-L-O-W-I-T-Z.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We deliver it to you both. Make sure you download the App Store for the iPhone, Google Play for the Android, and leave us a 5-star rating, write us a nice review, and subscribe to the podcast. Roy, this is a lot of fun. Looking forward to a great weekend of sports, and we'll speak to you very soon.
It was a pleasure as always.